Hello, hello. Welcome back our podcast, When You're Ready. My name is Brianna Michonne.
And I am Imani Niabatye.
And today, we're going to start with our herb, as always, which is...
Burdock root. This herb is used magical purposes for cleansing, uncrossing, protection, and reviving a man's nature. So for you fellas that ate some spaghetti you had no business eating, get you some burdock root, okay? For medicinal purposes, is known for purifying the blood and said to ease skin issues and infections.
The other day, I made burdock root, sarsaparilla spirilla root, and dandelion root tea, and it did what it needed to do.
Period.
For sure. For sure. Today's episode is healing from generational patterns, mm-hmm. and how we have and are still working through that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get a little deep today.
A little deep. You want to start?
Okay. Well, I want to say, like, before we get started, what do you, like, what's the first word that comes to mind when you hear healing from generational patterns?
When I think of healing from generational patterns, I think of, like, starting a new cycle.
I like that.
And, like, starting a fresh cycle and putting an end to the ones that don't serve us anymore.
I hear boundaries. Mm. That's basically what you said. Yeah. It's like you gave the definition of boundaries and I just said boundaries. Yeah. But before, well, as we get into that topic, mm-hmm. what are some relationships that you saw growing up, like the dynamics, mm-hmm. the conversations, the habits, the characteristics? What did you see growing up?
I grew up in a two-parent household, mm-hmm. two parents married, mother and father, and both of my grandparents on both sides married. My mom's parents, my granny and her husband, that's really my, he's not my blood grandfather, mm-hmm. But he's been with my granny and raised my mom since she was three, so he is my grandfather.
That's your grandfather.
And literally. And, like, my mom's relationship with her dad is, you know, something that they're...
working on.
Yeah, working on, that she's working on. And I honestly didn't really know him until I was, like, in my teenage years, like, preteen.
Really?
So, the gag is, I didn't even know my granddaddy wasn't my real granddaddy. That's why his name in my phone is my real granddaddy, because he always used to say that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's the reason I put that is that. And my dad, my mom, her phone, his name is my real dad or something like that. Yeah. Like, my real daddy or something like that. Yeah. But that's just, like, a running joke that we have.
Okay.
But, yeah. That's what I've seen growing up. And then, like, my grandparents on my dad's side, his parents. It's just, like, I don't know. Everything just seemed like regular marriage to me, you know? I feel like now at this age and this time, I'm able to, like, really dissect and see things very clearly.
Yeah.
But, like, growing up, everything was, like, I was just very grateful because... yeah. You know, I had friends that, you know, they didn't have both parents in their household, mm-hmm. and things like that. And so having all of my grandparents and my parents still be married and together was like, dang, you don't really see
it's
that.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
And then my mom's friends, her relationship with her friends, like all of my TTs, they're like sisters, like a sisterhood. And so I had the privilege of being able to see that growing up. And
what
even
what
now,
are their relationships like? Like a general...
One of my TTs married.
Okay.
Kids. She's really my cousin, technically.
Yeah.
And then my other TTs, they have, you know, their relationship situations. They're not married.
Yeah.
A few of them are not married. I think only my mom, my TT, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm able to see how they show up differently,
mm-hmm.
in different ways. From a arm's length distance in a way, because, I mean, I'm not all up in their business, so yeah. I only know what I know. But, yeah, I think that's pretty much that.
So, my life is completely different. Yeah. I grew up in, like, a single-parent household. I have a relationship with my dad, but my dad lived in New York most of my life, and I lived with my mom here in Chicago, and I'm an only child, too. Well, we said that in the last episode. And then my mom grew up in a single-parent household as well, and my dad grew up with his, he doesn't say stepfather, but for the point of the show, I'm going to say stepfather for perspective. My dad's biological father, that's who I, like, post on my social media, like, when he passed, he's on my Instagram now. He was absent, and they, like, had a on and off relationship, my dad and his biological father, but he still had that male presence in his home. That's my grandfather, Phil Cran. And then, but it's like my grandparents grew up with like that two parent household, but I don't know, something about the 70s, it was different. And I feel like, I know my dad wanted me to have a two parent household, and my mom did too. But, you know, circumstances happen, and, like, I've seen my parents date most of my life. Like, I've had step-parents and et cetera. So they did the best that they could. As far as, like, my mom's friends, most of them are, like, have their, most of them are single mothers. I feel like she has one friend that's married and still married. Like, they got married when I was, like, 7. They're still married. But no, I didn't really see, like, marriage for real or, like, healthy relationships at all. Like, my mom has this best friend who's a city girl, full-out city girl, like, literally. And that's what I saw. My mom, I saw her date a lot, and, like, sometimes she'll let me meet the guy. Like, she was very intentional and private about, like, having me around different men, which I'm really grateful for. So... If I saw you, I was like, oh, okay, this must be serious. So, yeah, and, like, the longest relationship she got in, I was, like, in high school, and, like, they ended when I, like, got out of high school. So it wasn't really that long. So, yeah. Yeah, completely different. Oh, wait, and then my dad's a trumpet player. He travels all over the world, so I don't really have to speak more on, you know, those relationships. It's gotten better now. But that definitely impacted my perception of men. And then I have a lot of uncles, so same thing, same behavior.
No, I feel that. You know? Definitely had two completely different upbringings.
But it's good because people get two different perspectives.
And I think that's definitely why I see the value in, like, what we do. Because, like, I've been able to see marriage my whole life. In different ways, and how that manifested in, like, my grandparents' relationships and my other grandparents and my parents in so many different ways. And, like, also, like I said, not really fully seeing things for what they may be until, like, now at this point in my life.
I have a question. Do you feel like now that you're an adult and everything that you saw growing, how has it change your perception positively or negatively on, like,
relationships
and, like, family structure?
I think that something that I realize and notice is that, like, we talked about this before, a lot of people, not even just women or men, like, a lot of people settle. And they get complacent and comfortable. And it gets to a point where, like, a lot of these marriages that are, like, 20-something years are really just, like, tolerance. It's just tolerating and convincing.
Because you get used to somebody.
And it's this, which is understandable, this fear of starting over, which is valid. But, yeah, I think that that's something that I realized, and, like, as I started assessing and reassessing from my past relationship what I really wanted from a partner, long-term marriage and all of that, is that I will not settle. I will not be complacent. I will not be comfortable. And I will not be tolerating anybody. Yeah. I will be making an active choice and decision throughout the entire process and journey of love.
Yeah.
And loving somebody.
It's funny you said that because I feel like growing up, I saw a lot of women settle for, like, boyfriends. Like, long-term boyfriends and baby daddies.
Yeah.
And that's something that, like, I made it very apparent and, like, I vocalized with myself to never settle for anything.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many women in my family and, like, my mom's friends and so forth just settle for, like, the bare minimum because they were afraid of being alone. Mm-hmm. They were afraid of not having support or, like, emotional support or just physical safety, you and know.
Relationships with their fathers.
The relationships with their fathers impacted that as well, and I never wanted that.
Yeah.
Never wanted that.
Yeah. And it, like I said, it was just something I didn't really see, because, I mean, as you're growing up and stuff, you're not thinking about this stuff. Uh-huh. You're not even able to even comprehend and understand it from that perspective.
Well, I would say I started, like, realizing and recognizing it when I was in high school.
Actually, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, because, like, my friends would start dating and stuff. Because I was a late bloomer when it came to, like, dating.
Same.
Well, was I late? I mean, 16, 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the same.
Yeah.
Started dating at 15, 16.
Yeah, and then my friends was going through it. And I was just like, girl. Yeah. And
that's when the stages was lethal.
And then I started seeing and, like, really, like, you know, forming a opinion and a perception of what I don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay, so.
How has our family dynamic shaped the way we approach mental health?
Oh, wow.
This and is self-care now. From, like, the things that we've seen, how we see our parents talk about self-love.
Can I go first?
Heck yeah.
Okay. I don't have a problem speaking on this because I feel like it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is something that is really important to me. My mom is bipolar 2. She's very vocal about it. I don't feel bad about speaking on it. And schizophrenia is very common in my family, as well as anger issues and, like, PTSD and ADHD, like, literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom has always been an advocate of mental health and taking care of yourself because of her own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. And my mom was, like, diagnosed later.
Mm-hmm.
So she just thought she was just depressed.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really get diagnosed with bipolar 2, I think, until my senior year of high school, honestly. Oh, wow. Yeah, like, really late. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like it was, like, my senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
She was, like, really diagnosed. So, because of the mistakes she's had and, like, you know, just being a normal parent, I love my mom because she takes full accountability for herself and how she showed up.
Mm-hmm.
She took initiative to, like, pay for me to have mental support and go to therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had depression when I was really young. I've had it since I was 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim it now because I haven't been depressed in a really long time. But I feel like because my mom has the awareness and has been an advocate for herself and working on herself, that she has opened the doors and always, like, had that knowledge around and supported me on my journey so that I can want better for myself.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for that. But seeing her and how she carries herself does influence me. And then, like, other people in my family, like, what I've always been that person. What people do, I try to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that also helped as well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of my elders would have had better lives if they cared more about mental health. Mm-hmm. And I understand it's a generational thing. I really see that. That's why I say it with no judgment. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if those generations had the resources that we have now, and it wasn't
vocabulary.
And the vocabulary. And, like, you know, had the opportunities and the environment and the resources that we have now, things would have been different for a lot of people in my family. Yeah. So, yeah.
100%. I understand that. I think that for me, I didn't really, like, I don't think I really dealt with things like that.
Yeah.
Growing up, because I think that, like, my parents are, like, from what I can tell and what I know, were pretty fine.
Yeah.
You know, everybody goes through their things. But yeah. My mom is a teacher. Well, she was a teacher. She's still a teacher now, but she's a teacher's coach now.
Yeah.
And so growing up with a teacher as a mother who teaches preschoolers mm-hmm. and working with a lot of kids on the spectrum and things like that, she has a level of understanding for that type of stuff and for mental health and stuff. So she's always been like, she's always had the awareness of that.
Yeah.
And the patience yeah. for it, especially working with babies.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that having a mother who, you know, who understood that when I did get older and was, like, wanting therapy and stuff, it was mm-hmm. something that she understood.
Yeah.
Like, it was never, like, you don't need that, da, da, da. It was never that. It was always like, okay, well, do it then.
Support.
Yeah. Like, let's do it then. So, like, I think when I think about the topic of, like, mental health and self-love and self-care, now that I'm older, like, I think that it's something that me and her are able to relate on a lot more, especially as just we navigate through life and, you know, different transitions of life.
Yeah.
It's something that she resonates with a lot more now, and she understands why I show up in the world, how I show up in the world.
Yeah, because it helps.
Yeah, like, when I say I don't have the capacity for something or I'm not trying to do something, I said what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that, like, also, too, I have some people in my family, too, who suffer from schizophrenia, aunts and stuff, and I think my great-grandmother, too. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like I remember my mom and my cousins talking about this. And I think it, like, we talked about, how we perceive that.
Yeah.
And I think that's that a lot, understanding the spiritual aspect of life at this point in time and what my great grandmother practiced and things like that. It allowed me to realize that it's not what they try to make it seem to be.
It's deeper.
Especially for it to be the side of my family that's so deeply spiritually in tune, is like, you can't sit here and try to tell me that.
I want to put a pin in that because I don't want to go
deep. Yeah, I don't want to go too deep because that could be a whole thing.
But if you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
The spiritual workers
out there. Let me clarify. I have schizophrenia prominent on both sides. It's not just my mother's side. It's my dad's side, too.
Yeah, mine was... Yeah. That I know of is just my mother's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, with my grandparents on my dad's side, when it comes to that stuff, like, I never really seen that, for real. And I think it's simply because, like, I had a conversation with my grandmother when we were in Belize, because that's my Belizean side of the family. And she was telling me, like, her and my aunt, I have a tape recording. I was recording them, like, this whole conversation. And she was saying how, like, when they were younger, like, they couldn't ask questions about nothing. Mm-hmm. They just had to be kids. Like, they knew that, like, when adults come in the room, y'all leave the room. Y'all don't stay in there. Y'all don't. So, like, the questions that I'd be asking, like, she was like, we couldn't ask these type of questions, like, at all. Not in a way of, like, I'm not answering the questions, but more just, like, her reflecting on, like, you know, we weren't able to have these conversations. Like, our mom didn't, like,
play
that. I
have a good question. Mm-hmm. I don't want to cut you off.
No, you're good. That's all I have to say.
What privileges do you feel like you have?
That, for sure.
You know, that you feel like they didn't have, like, your grandparents or your mother. Like,
yeah. It's a couple. First is that having the space created for me to be able to ask questions and, like, challenge them and challenge ideas and things like that. They weren't able to do that because I remember... I told you when I was transferred to Columbia from Western, I made a whole PowerPoint presentation to my parents about spirituality and everything. I was on a deep rabbit hole of spiritual awakening. Like, everything was flipping upside down. I'm like, yo, I cannot be here. Like, so I was transferring. I made a PowerPoint, presented it to my parents. And my dad was like, this is the proudest you have ever been because this just reminds me of me. Like, I literally used to be like this. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad is very much so and has always been like the... one to be asking questions. Like, he not finna just take what you trying to tell him.
I can see that.
Yeah. And so, like, being in a Belizean household with a mother who grew up not being able to do those things, and Catholic on top of that, it was like, he could only test them water so much.
Yeah.
Before it's like, okay, now, keep it cute. So
stay in a child's place.
No, literally. So, yeah, I think that, like, because my parents had that experience growing up, and my mom even said that too. Like, she's like, the relationship I had with my mother was so different, and it was, I learned so much from that that taught me to handle you in a different way. I didn't want to bring you up how she brought me up, because not that my she didn't love me. Yeah, but she, it was a very tough love and a very hard love. And she always said that my granny was, my aunt always said that, I changed my granny.
Yeah.
That I
my
changed
mom says
her.
That too.
Yeah, like
my mom says that too.
It made a soft spot in her that was needed. And I feel kind of shifted her perspective. And I didn't really fully get to experience that much, because when I was 5, she had a stroke. Mm-hmm. So I only have, like, my memories of her, which is, like, enough. Because for some reason, I remember a lot of that time in my life. Like, but yeah, I think that, like, from their experiences with that, the definitely, like, being able to vocalize and speak up and challenge things and challenge ideas and, like, speak about how I feel, and be assertive in that, because, like, you know, when we were younger, it was they wasn't playing that, but, like, now that I'm older, it's like, I'm gonna say how I feel about this, and I'm not afraid to say how I feel about this. Like, if I don't feel like I agree, I'm gonna say I don't agree, and if I feel like I'm not being treated correctly in this position or this situation, I'm going to vocalize that. And if I need space while we're having this conversation so that I can articulate myself how I want to and conduct this conversation properly, I'm going to go take space and do that until we can have a conversation properly. Because I've learned that, like, respect is earned.
It's earned.
And it's not just expected. It's not just expected in, like, you're my parent and I appreciate
or
that.
My elder.
And I respect you for that. But you can't disrespect me and want respect back. That's not fair. It's not fair. Especially at these big ages that we at. We're not doing that no more.
I almost said something. I'm going to say it. That's that slave mentality.
Yeah. It's like, it's literally slave mentality. You want to command me. You want to control me. But you can't. And it's literally just you trying to control my mind, because you can't physically do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, I feel like, well, I agree with everything that you're saying. And for the sake of not repeating, I would say the biggest thing for me was being able to be a spiritualist out in the open and not hide it.
I feel that.
Because my grandma's from the South, like Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, my people from Louisiana, you know, and Florida.
Exactly. Like,
they country as ever.
Country as hell. And my grandmother comes from, like, one of those, like, bourgeois Black families in the South. Mm. Like, we were, like, I don't want to tell y'all our business, but we up there. And that's where that respectability politics and stuff comes in. So it's like, the great grandmas couldn't tell everybody that they were the two-headed ladies. You know what I'm saying? Like, that had to be hush-hush, swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother having her gifts and, you know, going opposite direction than, like, her sisters, and, like, wanting to learn more about her spirituality and working on herself and not go to another church and go to the same lifestyle. She had to keep things on a hush-hush. And for me to be out and open, like, I'm a medium, what's up? And she's confided in me. Like, she's proud of my courage and being able to just, like, be out in the open and not care about what people think about me and not care about, like, the consequences and things like that, and just love on myself openly. I feel like it's really beautiful. And another thing I feel like I recognize as well is having the space and opportunity to love on me and not having the societal pressures of getting married and having a kid. That's one thing I really feel like is a blessing.
Yeah, because my parents had me 19 going into 20.
My mom had me when she was 22 going into 23.
Like, 19 going into 20... I couldn't imagine my life.
I can barely take care of my cat. I'm doing great.
I can barely take care of myself.
Exactly.
I don't even take care of my dog.
You know, sometimes I forget to eat. Like,
bro, literally.
Yeah. So like
a child.
Hey, this is shout out to all the mothers, young mothers out there.
Y'all are doing it.
You are doing it.
This is kudos to you because I couldn't.
I couldn't imagine.
I just couldn't imagine.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm grateful to have the space to really love on me, like,
and be a kid.
Having a childhood.
Yes, having a childhood and having our 20s.
Yeah.
Like, the privilege of having our 20s and having this time to learn from what we needed to learn from and continue to learn from what we need to learn from and pour into ourselves.
Oh, I know a good one I want to say, and then I'm done. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful and I recognize the privilege of having great relationships with my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my parents, I know they don't have the relationship that they probably want. Like, my dad and my grandmother are really close. But, like, I know he definitely wanted a closer relationship with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, vice versa. Like, I'm grateful to that we both, because it wasn't just me. Like, we both put in that work to have better relationships that they didn't have and that we know that their parent they didn't have with their parents, like, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like me and my mom's relationship has definitely, like, transformed a lot.
Yeah.
Because she didn't, like, she wasn't able to talk to her mom about things for real. Like, she could talk to her, but it's levels.
Yeah.
It's levels to it.
It's levels.
It's definitely levels to it. And, like, because of the space that my mother has tried to cultivate and create with me and her relationship, now being in my 20s has allowed us to relate on a different level.
Yeah.
And, like, have those real conversations.
Because it's important to know your mother's story.
Yeah.
It is. It's really important to... I feel like that helps you, like, really see them for who they are and not as your mother.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm definitely in a place now where I see my parents as who they are.
Yeah.
As the people that they are, like... And that's why, like, when I be having conversations and they be trying to pull that parental card out, I be like...
It's like, I'm you.
Like, stop... Clock it. Please stop playing right now. You. Like, yeah.
I feel that. Okay. How has the relationship with money, like, what did you see growing up and how has that influenced you now as an adult? Good and bad.
For me, when it comes to finances and money, my grandparents were always very supportive. So because of that, like, regardless of, like, what the personal relationships they had with their kids were, whether it's my mother, I mean, my mom and her mom and her dad, or my dad and his mom and his dad, they are always very supportive. And because of that, I was able to see that because we lived with them for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, we lived with my granny, my granddad for a while when I was, like, a baby. Because my mom had me when she was in college. So, yeah. And she went to Chicago State. So, yeah, like, we lived there. And then we moved in with my grandparents, my other grandparents, my dad's parents. And we owned that building. It's a two flat with a basement. And the basement is renovated like a whole, like a apartment. And so we lived there. For a long time, literally until, I think, see, a part of that, for some reason, I can't remember, like, when we moved, but it was around, before I started high school. I think it maybe was, like, my seventh or eighth grade year of middle school. Around there is when we moved, and then we got our house. And they did that because they allowed them to, you know, save up, get their money together and do all they want to do until, so we could purchase our house.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, we did that and we've been in our home for a while. My parents were in real estate, flipping houses and things like that. My dad and my mom talked to me a bit about, like, their finances and things. They set me up very well when it comes to, like, my finances. They had credit cards in my name and, like, put a lot of things in my name. So that when I did turn of age, I had good credit. My dad put money away into accounts for me for things. But before that, like, he's had his experience with losing money. And, getting into real estate and things being very terrible and falling through and then not turning out how he thought it was and having to start over when it comes to finances and relearning things. And he's even vocalized before, like, if I knew what I knew now, I would be in a, such a different place financially. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, hey, everything, you know, everything happens for a reason. But yeah, like the knowledge that he has now with the money and stuff is very... is a lot more knowledgeable, and he's into stocks and all that stuff, and he put stocks and bonds and stuff in my name and things like that. And my mom is not financially illiterate at all, but she did learn a lot from him when it comes to the finances and all of that stuff. But I think that, like, now in life, I feel like my parents are a bit complacent with money and, like, content with where they are, and I'm not that. I'm gonna be...
You want more.
I want more. And I will have more. And I think that that's what my reading meant when it said what it said.
Yeah.
I'm going to elevate. I'm going to do more. I'm going to
evolve. I mean, we see that when we see you. You carry that energy.
Yeah. And I get that hustle mentality from my dad.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
I feel like your daddy... Your daddy's supposed to teach you how to hustle, because my dad definitely, he taught me how to hustle, like, for real, for real.
Yeah, I definitely got that hustle mentality from my dad, and so, even from when I was younger, I feel like my mom started moving more to the entrepreneurial thing a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
But, like, never really...
Let me shut up.
You...
I thought we were going to different... Just listen. let me be an active listener.
But yeah, like, I feel like she just started moving more into the whole, like, entrepreneurial mentality and mindset in the past couple years, maybe, like, 5 years, maybe. But I definitely learned my hustle mentality from my dad, and I have been, like, having my own business since I was in middle school selling, if y'all know I was selling them duct tape flower pins that I was making, and I was selling them to my mama friends, her coworkers, my daddy friends, his coworkers.
She been about that paper.
I've been about that paper, and even out in Winnetka with my...
Winnetka.
Yes, I was out in Winnetka with my grandma, working with her and her boss, and her boss owned a shoe store. It was a high-end shoe store, and she, Miss Martha, used to let me be at the front of her store selling my flower pens to her customers.
Period.
I was making money.
Period.
I was not playing. I always been about that life. So I feel like, that was pretty much my experience with finances. It's always kind of been like, I seen the value in money.
Yeah.
And it was something that was like...
Well, you were taught the value of money.
Yeah, I was taught the...
It helped you see it.
Exactly. Yeah. I was taught the value of money and take advantage of being able to still be with your people.
Ashe.
And not be in a rush to move out. Because I never had to be like, oh, you got to be out of here by 18. Like, that was never my experience.
Yeah.
That's why I'm still with my people now. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I was taught, to the value of money and shown the value of money. And so, therefore... it was never a rush for me to leave home and, even though I'm ready to get the hell, personally, love them, but,
You just want your independence.
Yeah, I just want my independence. I just want my space. And, but naturally, we about to start traveling and things, so it is what it is. But yeah, like, I never had that experience of having to, like, hurry up and get up and leave home. So, that's something I'm very grateful for. And that was, that they extended that to me because they had that also. Their parents did that for them also.
Yeah.
Until they got what they wanted and got things figured out.
I feel like for me, again, it's the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I love this because we're given two different perspectives. It's not that my parents... I feel like they talked more about it than, like, showed me.
Yeah.
I feel like my parents didn't... My grandparents weren't necessarily financially stable. They weren't. Like, my grandmother was raised, and same with my grandmother on my other side, they were raised that way, but, like, they married differently.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather, same, like, he was raised that way, but, like, circumstances, they weren't the best.
Mm-hmm.
Same for my other grandpa, as I'm thinking about this.
Yeah.
And, like, my grandparents on both sides were artists as well. And then my dad and my mom, they weren't in the best place financially when I was a baby. So they didn't really have, like, that structure to be taught in as well. And my parents, I feel like they, like, made it out the mud. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my dad, he has lived a very successful life from hustling and, like, chasing his dreams and et cetera. Mm-hmm. I feel like my mom, from the past 3 to 4 years, I feel like she's finally in a financial place where she feels the most secure. Mm-hmm. So, like, growing up, we weren't, like, we didn't have the money or whatever like that. Like, I feel like things just got better.
Yeah.
For my mom and I. So, for me, I feel like I'm just now understanding the value of money from a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But it could have been worse. And I feel like I don't beat myself up about it as much as because, like, I've traveled. I've been to Europe. I've been to South America. I've been to the Caribbean. Like, and I've invested that money. And some people have paid for it as well. You know, very That's blessed.
Enough said.
Enough said. But, I've experienced a lot of beautiful things. I love my life. I've traveled. I've started businesses, started more businesses. And I feel like me having that hustle mentality that my dad has taught me and him also teaching me to, like, chase my dreams, it has allowed me to be able to start over and start back over and over where I've never been. I've been rock bottom, but luckily I have, like, a very supportive family that support me financially. Gratefully, I've never been in that position to, like, borrow money from friends and ruin friendships and stuff like that. Like, I'll ask, like, Brianna to cover me, like, once or twice, but I'm instantly sending that money back. You know what I'm saying? Like, vice versa. Like, we just not those type of friends. We just, you know, like, we just don't do that. Sometimes we treat each other, but I respect money in that way where I don't take advantage of it to where it's, like, it ruins my friendships or my relationships. But, like, yeah, I see prosperity and wealth, especially with what I'm learning now. And now I feel like I'm back to where I want to be, where I can build off of it. But I had to hit rock bottom this summer. Your girl was struggling a little bit, you know, financially, but emotionally and everything else, I was fine. But it's like, also, I feel like you have to recognize when your rock bottom is rock bottom so that you can reach the top.
Yeah,
it's like, I knew I'm here because something greater is coming. Like, I just knew. Like, this was my time to, like, hustle, 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 hustle. And I'm grateful for that experience because it allowed me, it allows me to say, like, I got this from, like, what I was doing. And you I earned it. And I feel like that's my path and what it's about because I feel like I'm supposed to teach women with similar stories. You know what I'm saying? But that makes sense because my mom is like that. That makes a lot of sense.
Let's talk a little bit about, like, how our mentality with money.
What do you mean?
As far as, like,
like, law of attraction and
stuff
like that?
Yeah, like, I think that's a good segue to move into a little bit because I think that that also has to do with what we
100%
learned, not even just from our parents, but more like our own situations.
Yeah, because I don't feel like I learned that from my parents.
Yeah.
I learned that 100% from me.
100%.
And it's no shade to you, mommy and daddy. Y'all just, y'all old school.
Yeah, we just learn things a different way.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, what really helped me understand that was, it was this summer, y'all. Like, I, like, I'm grateful I got out of my apartment without, like, you know, evictions or anything like that. I paid all my rent on time, et cetera. I just chose to leave because I was like, I want to stack. And from me doing that, but I didn't want to go back to a regular 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Like, I told myself, I'm like, girl, we gonna make this work, but we ain't going back to working for nobody.
Okay.
For real, for real. Like, I can't do that. Like, the job I have now, technically I work for someone, but it's, like, it's not flexible. The same. It's flexible. Like, I don't have a boss on my neck 24/7. It's completely different. But, like, that faith,
girl,
and understanding the law of attraction, like, I was literally doing readings and selling my art and, like, you know, my candles and incense and stuff. Like, I was hustling, like, really hustling on gigs and just, like, faith in, like, being a doula and nannying here and there. Like, how do I do it? You just, your dreams just have to be so strong and, like, bigger than you that it's, like, it's either this or nothing.
Okay.
Like, there can't be,
it can't be a no
plan
other
B
option.
Or
it,
plan C. Like, there was no other options.
It can't.
Bayeism is going to take me out the hood. And that's just, I don't live in the hood now, but y'all get what I'm saying. Like,
for the purpose of the
for the purpose for the context. Of the context of what we're saying. I'm not glorifying the hood. I'm from the hood, so don't nobody try to get on me about that. But I'm just saying, like, Bayism is going to take me there. And that faith that I had on myself, it was everything. And now I'm seeing the fruits of my labors, and I'm going to continue seeing the fruits of my labor, because you have to believe in yourself. Ain't nobody going to save you from where the fuck you're at, bro. Like, nobody but you. Nobody but you. And I feel like this summer, and it's not that I didn't understand. No, I'm not going front. I didn't understand that. I really didn't understand that. And it wasn't that I was just looking for somebody to save me. It's just, I'm a spoiled girl. I've always been spoiled. So it's like, you know, we're only children. We've always had that support. We've always gotten what we wanted. But it's like, the type of person I am, I'm not that spoiled brat where it's like, I depend on my parents for everything. No, I'm very independent. I've always been independent. My parents will tell you how independent I am. Like, it hurts my ego to ask my parents for money sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather go outside and hustle and, like, literally do backflips on the corner to, like, make that money myself than, like, to ask somebody for money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you gotta believe on yourself. You really do.
I agree. I think for me, the realization that sticks in my brain constantly when it comes to, like, the things I manifest into my life was me going to Columbia. My mentality, I use this as a reference every time, because, like, I feel like that was the very first time that I was like, this or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't no, if not this, then less. It wasn't none of that. Like, I didn't have no other plan. It was either I'm going to Columbia or I'm going to Columbia. That's that. I had that shit written on my walls on note cards. Like, I was not playing. Like, because I was in the peak of, like, my spiritual awakening and just realizations of different, like, you know, things in life. And, like, understanding, like, the law of attraction and all that stuff. Like, at that time, I was like, oh, I'm doing this. When I learned that, it was the poster child for me.
Yeah.
It was what I needed, like, to remind myself every time I'm in that moment. And, like, now, being in, like, my career and, like, building a brand for myself, I've tried to work for people.
Yeah.
And every single time I've tried to work for people, spirit just snatches that shit right out from under me. And it's just been made very clear that it's not my purpose to do that. And even from a perspective of, like, I'm gonna have my 9-to-5 on the side and do it, I can't.
Yeah.
Spirit don't allow me to do that. I'm literally, like, I just literally am not a person that can do that.
Work, like, 5 jobs.
Yeah, not even one, bro. Not even one, because subconsciously I know I do that because of lack of faith.
That's what it is. Yeah, I feel like every time I was going back to a job, it was because I didn't believe in myself.
Yeah, and not even that I didn't believe in myself, but more like, let me do this for the extra money.
Yeah, it's more so for the extra money or just in case.
Yeah, like a just in case thing.
Just in case.
And it's like, they can't coexist.
Yeah.
It can't coexist.
It's either manifesting, you believe in yourself or you don't.
Yeah, manifesting and, like, having second options and plan Bs, it's, you're contradicting it. So you're canceling it out. It's just not going to come like you think it's going to come.
What the city girls say?
What they say?
I don't work jobs,
bitch. I am a job. Like, let's talk about what they say. I just forgot. But yeah, like, I think that understanding that and, like, really having a step, not even just out on faith, but discipline, bro. Like, nobody's going to get it but me. Nobody can get it but me. And if I don't do what needs to be done for my business to do what I need to do, it's not going to happen. And yeah, so that's why, like, I work hard. I do what I do. Wait, I do what I do because I see very clearly, and sometimes I don't see very clearly what everything is going to look like, but I know what my purpose is and everything that I'm doing. And even with my gallery show, I had no fucking clue how I was going to do that shit in a month.
I had that planned out for a year in my head, but I was procrastinating because I didn't know if I could do it for real. Mm. Then I waited all the way up until June, end of June, and I wanted to have that show in August.
Yeah.
Bro, I was like, it was one point before I decided to really do it that was like, I had a reading. I think I did a reading on myself. Yes, I did. I did a reading on myself. I pulled some cards, and it basically said, if you don't do it, somebody else gonna do it. Mm. I said, hell no. I'm doing this shit. Y'all ain't taking my fucking idea, boy. I'm like, I'll leave it with something. So I was like, it's time to get to work. It's time to stop playing. And I couldn't focus on how it was gonna get done. I just had to focus on the what.
The faith.
Yeah. I had to focus.
Y'all see how she's going at me? I respect it. Go ahead.
I had to focus on the what, and I couldn't focus on the how. Because your how can change.
Yeah.
It can change throughout the process, no matter, like, depending on how you going about things or doing certain things. It can change.
But you're not supposed to control it. God's going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. That's all I had to say.
Mm-hmm. Keep it cute. Exactly. And that's not in my control. It's not for me to control the how. I just have to focus on what it is and do it and just get it done. So I started getting the designs for my journal together. Mm-hmm. I got the designs for my little postcards and things together. Reached out to my friends who own the space that I did the space in. Like, I just started. I just started somewhere because, yeah. I just had to do it. I had to do it. And bringing it back around to the whole purpose of this, me saying all of this, like, it's faith, like you said. It really is just faith in, like, being certain in what it is. And, like, the constant reminder that we are the ones that are in control of our reality.
Yeah.
Nobody else can control that shit but us. Yeah. And the moment you think that somebody else is in control of that shit, you handing your power away.
You lose all of your power.
You lose all your power. And we do that same thing with money. We give money the control. And it's like, you do what you feel is right for you. Mm-hmm. You go, you pour into your passions, pour into what you want to do, and that money gonna follow. You don't got to worry about the money. It's going to come.
The biggest thing I want to say is don't focus so much on how things are supposed, like she said, the how, like, mm-hmm. needing the right equipment, and needing the right space, or how you think, or having the right connections, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just show up.
I promise you,
if you just show up and with your hands open, ready to receive, everything else is going to follow.
Literally, because that's literally what that's doing. Like, me creating everything, getting everything ready for the show, is showing the universe and God and the ancestors that I'm ready to do this. Mm-hmm. And showing that I'm ready to do this, everything that's needed to make it come into place is going to come into place. I'm attracting it. That's what I'm doing. Me moving forward with the things, not worried about how am I going to even pay for this. Like, I shouldn't need, because then you fall into the, I shouldn't even do this. I don't even know how I'm going to pay for this right now.
It's those shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Stay away from the shoulda, coulda, woulda.
For real. Let them shoulda, coulda, woulda, boogas go. Let it go. Shoulda, coulda, let it go.
But what I was going to say when I was about to interrupt you, look, take this how you want to take it. But think about crackheads. I have to say it. How do y'all think crack kids manifest crack all the damn time?
Because that's their mentality.
Because they got faith that they gonna get it.
They know they gonna
get it. They will do whatever they need to do to get that hit. You gotta treat your dreams like crack. That. You have to. I'm just saying, because it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're in that vibration and that's your reality and you're so, like, you're passionate about what you're doing. You're passionate about what you're going to get, and mm-hmm. you know you're going to get it, and you know how to get it, you're going to get it.
Yeah. And the only person who's going to tell you that you're not going to get it is you.
Exactly.
You're the only one. If something is not coming into your life or not coming to you, it's because you're telling yourself it's not coming.
It's
to
not.
You. And some way, and that manifests in different ways, but no matter which way it's manifesting, that's what it is.
So now I want to ask, and then we got to get to our last question. What tools do you feel like your parents provided you to show up as the person that you are today? Or not parents, Your family.
Independence. At a young age, my parents taught me that I gotta work for what I want. And I have to earn what I want. I'm the only child, and people be thinking, you're so spoiled. No, yeah, motherfucker. Same. I'm spoiled because naturally I'm spoiled because I'm the only one that they can pour into in that way because I'm the only child.
Yeah.
I'm the only grandchild. I'm the only granddaughter. Like, so yeah, emotionally, maybe in ways, and maybe when I was a kid, but when I hit that preteen boy and them chores start coming in and I had to earn on my report card, I think my A's were $20, my B's were $10, my C's were $5, and D's and F's, I didn't get shit.
Mm.
And for my, curfew, for my chores, I think I got, I forgot how much I used to make my, like, how much they used to give me for doing my chores, but I had to do all my chores to get money. Like, that was how I made money. That was how I earned what I wanted. Like, they taught me, you have to earn what you want. Like, you're not just going to be getting stuff no more. Like, when my grades was coming out, I knew I was calculating them monies. I was calculating them monies up. I said, yeah, it's going to be $70. Thank you. Every report card. What are you talking about? But yeah, like, I think that definitely that independence. And also, too, something that's not in the same way, but it has influenced me a lot and made me realize this now that I'm older. Mama always used to say that it's something different about me. She always used to tell me, like, you're different than everybody else. You don't do things the same way as everybody else. Like, you're a leader. You lead a lot of things. And I was like, I guess I am that. But, like, now that I'm older, like, I understand that now because, like, I was never a follower in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Like, I've always wanted to fit in and all the things naturally.
But that's different.
Yeah.
But you wasn't a follower, same.
Yeah, like, I was never doing shit because other people was doing it. Like,
yeah.
Especially because, like, I had the spirit of discernment from so young.
Same.
Like, nobody could tell me to go jump off that fucking swing or that slide. If I don't want to do it, I'm not doing it.
Same.
And nobody could guilt trip me into doing something that I did not want to do. And I feel like that independence and that certainty in self and, like, listening to my inner spirit was, like, something that, not necessarily the tool that she gave me, but she allowed me to recognize in myself.
They installed it in you. And they kept reassuring
you. They reassured that. And, like, now being older, I'm still that same way. I'm still that same person. Like, I remember my friends, they was like, she was telling me how some people from middle school was talking about my Instagram and how aesthetically pleasing and ethereal it is. And she was like, Brianna has always been like this. Like,
exactly. Y'all
didn't, like, how, and I'm like, it's so funny how, like, people didn't used to see me as who I am, but I'm the same motherfucker I've always been. I'm literally the same person.
You just got more razzle-dazzle.
I just got more razzle-dazzle, and I'm more confident in who I am. Yeah. That's literally that. So, yeah.
Heavy on that. I definitely agree. I feel like my parents installed in me to be independent and, like, to get things on my own. Like, nothing has ever, I'm a little spoiled. I ain't gonna lie. I feel like
I am too. You know, we still at home with our parents. Yeah. Like, I have my own car at 16.
Yeah, like, I'm a little spoiled, but I feel like they've definitely set really good boundaries and structure for me. And I feel like I'm grateful that my parents installed, like, character and, like, who I am and always reminded me of who I was. Mm-hmm. And, like, they always said, Imani Nia, we named you Imani Nia for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, you have faith and you have purpose. You weren't here. And they will always tell me, and I feel like this is so important to tell your kids, and I would do this to my kids.
Mm.
We didn't just have you just because we had sex. Right. We had you because we wanted you.
It was a purpose behind it.
It was a purpose for you being here.
Mm-hmm.
So honor that and respect yourself. And I'm beyond grateful that my parents installed that in me. And I feel like that really helped me with, like, relationships, messing with guys that don't care about me or guys approaching me that don't care about me. Like, I've always had that level of discernment to know you don't have my best interest and you do, or you have my best interest and you don't, because I know who I am.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know who really gives a fuck about me and because I know why I'm here. Like, that's really important. That's really, really important. I'm beyond grateful for that. Like, for real, for real. And same with the, I've never been a follower. I was the first one with the colored hair, first one with the gauges at my school, first one doing a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I've been doing this spiritual shit. Like, I bought, my auntie bought me a voodoo doll when she went to New Orleans. I brought that shit to school one day. You're funny. I know. I was a little crazy, y'all.
And at that time, at that age,
I think I was like,
our generation at that time, yeah, bro, they were
like, bro, she's weird. Because this boy pissed me off and I was like, keep fucking playing with me. Lord, I had that voodoo doll in my locker. Bro, I got that shit. My auntie got it from the airport. It wasn't gonna do nothing.
It wasn't literally not gonna do shit.
So for them. And I like reconnected for somebody from high school like a while ago. And they were like, you've always been into like, you know, the spiritual stuff. So I'm not surprised that you're doing it. I was like, I was. Yeah. Scaring people with fake voodoo dolls and stuff. Like, yeah, okay. That makes sense. So it's just funny, like, to think back on who I used to be and, like, how I'm not so far off. Like, I've always had my own self-identity, but, like, it's more improved and it's sharpened and it's, like, it's more evolving. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
What lessons were you raised with that you don't agree with now as an adult?
Lessons that I was... Oh, actually, okay, I'm glad we are discussing this because that just made me think about something. When I think about, like, raising my own kids, like, I am going to raise my kids to speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
Express how you feel.
Oof.
Say what you gotta say.
I'm doing my fingers, like, the clap, clap,
the little
clap.
Clap, clap, clap. Say what you gotta say.
Yeah.
Express your anger. Get your emotions out. And I'm gonna teach them how to do that properly.
Yeah.
How to do that effectively. And in a beneficial way that serves them.
Yeah.
I'm never going to shut my children out or shut them down for having emotion or... I really don't even ever want the phrase, because I said so, or because I'm the parent, to ever come out of my mouth. Mm. Because I think that something that our generation is understanding from our lessons as kids with millennial parents is that... When you're raising a child, you're raising a human. And you're raising this human so that you could give them back to the world and give it back to nature and give it back to God.
Your parents are millennials?
Yes.
Mine aren't.
What are you?
Mine is Gen X.
Really?
Mm-hmm. My mom was born in 77. My dad was born in 76.
Oh, my mom was born in 82.
Yeah, so you have... Okay.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, we got two different generations.
Yeah.
That's important to talk on. Yeah.
Well, that's that.
Really, Gen Z. It's Gen X or Gen... No, Gen X.
No, we're Gen Z.
Yeah, we're Gen Z, so they're Gen X.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang. But yeah, like, being raised with parents, you know, in that time, it's like we're raising humans.
Mm-hmm.
We're raising humans, and we don't own these humans.
No.
God owns these humans. Mm-hmm. And so you're raising these humans and instilling foundation in them so they can create the world that they want for their reality. And you're giving them back to God and giving them back to the world to go about that how they choose. Not so that you can dictate and shape and try to manipulate and form their mind how you think it should be. But creating that space for them to be a human and be a person. And show up in all the ways that a human and a person shows up. And not in a slave mentality way. And trying to control the mental of this little person. Because that's how you think it something should be. So, like, definitely creating that room and that space for, like, my kids to do that. Because growing up, it was always... Because I said, so I'm the parent. Why did you do this? Oh, no, don't tell me. Like, it don't matter how you feel about it. It don't matter how you... Like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Nope.
I would say for me, it's the respectability politics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like because my parents are from Gen X, my dad's not so much like this, but my mom is. And it's no shame, Mommy. I love you. But that whole code switching shit, and,
oh, yeah, I had the conversation recently.
just showing up in these white spaces. Like, I remember my mom wanted me, like, when I was learning about resumes and stuff, she wanted me to go by Nia.
Mm. Because of how it looks.
Imani Nia is too ethnic. Mm. And how I communicate, how I speak, those mm-hmm. different things, I would not raise my kids being hyper aware of.
Yes.
Because it's like, it teaches us that the only way for us to succeed is in those white spaces.
Mm-hmm. And having to manipulate
yeah.
ourselves physically and mentally.
Exactly.
In order to show up in those spaces.
And I feel like as a woman of color who is fair skinned with like, you know, texturism and all the other stuff that goes on. It mm-hmm. in the beginning, I had a lot of identity crisis mm-hmm. and confusion. And then, like, I would, during summers, I would go away to camp with white people and go to Denver and be with other ethnicities and come back to Chicago and go to my hood-ass elementary school. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of, like, confusion going on. I didn't know mm-hmm. how to show up. I didn't know how to be myself. And I feel like for a while, I didn't know how to be myself, and I wasn't comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like now I'm coming to the being more solid with who I am, being me and not fitting myself in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And being a black girl that loves rock music and has gauges, but also loves, like, African culture and, like, you know, black people, and but I'm also attracted to people, you know what I'm saying, and all those other things. Like, I'm a multi-dimensional being. Human being, and I'm not are. Exactly, and it's like I'm understanding that and I'm accepting that, and I'm also because I'm accepting, I'm also able to reflect others who understand that mm-hmm. have a broader perception of what that looks like, and having more acceptance
yeah.
and saying fuck you to respectability politics. Like, I mm-hmm. understand where they come from, but it's fear-based. It's fear-based, and we need to let that shit go.
Hell yeah.
Like, we really do. Yeah. And it's not, and I feel like it does more division for our communities than it does put us together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here for it. I don't fuck with it. I feel like you should show up how you should show up. And the way communication works, if you understand and you understand, that's all that fucking matters.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stop looking down on, like, you know, people from impoverished neighborhoods because they can't articulate the way that you articulate. Like, that shit isn't, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fuck with it. I really don't fuck with it. That's how I feel about respectability politics. I'm not going to raise my kids with that.
Yeah. Heavy on the teaching my kids to be comfortable in their skin.
Be comfortable in their skin and right. not, you don't not have care to about all that. You don't have to conform
to anybody's ideas or perceptions of you at all.
And just one thing, how to communicate effectively.
Yep.
And I give my parents grace because being from Gen Z, like, they didn't know how to do that. And I understand that, and mm-hmm. I see. Like, my parents are just now learning how to properly communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely want to teach my kids that. Like, you don't have to yell to get your point across.
Yes.
You don't have to raise your voice or swear or do certain things to be heard or be mm-hmm. seen. Like, there's proper ways to have conversations. There's ways to have disagreements without them escalating and being arguments mm-hmm. and confrontational. Like, those little things, like,
yeah, creating a safe space for that.
For open and honest communication. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was very healing.
That was good. I like that. This,
yeah.
That was great. Well.
Yeah.
That's all we have for today. Thank you guys for listening. We hope this was beneficial in any way for mm-hmm. y'all. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at @when_you're_ready_podcast. And we also have our donation link in our bio.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, interact with us on social media, y'all.
Please. And share this with your parents. Maybe have those conversations with your parents and, like, you know, give them praise, but also, like, ask them their stories. Like, really get to know, like, the adults or the human beings that your parents are. Like, mm-hmm. I really feel like that helps with, like, mending those relationships and those gaps.
And having those hard conversations. Yeah. They be uncomfortable and hard, but it'd be worth it.
It definitely is worth it. Yeah. But peace and love, you guys. Happy spooky season. Peace. Bye.